Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, 7:24. Al, you're not going to believe this. I edited myself today. I was going to tweet out. I knew this Jimmy Butler thing was not going to work out. I was sure this thing was not going to work. No, they lost last night.
Oh, wow.
Then Rhea, and I decided not to because Rhea handed me this headline from ESPN.com that says, with Jimmy Butler gone, Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins usher in a more modern, fun era of
fun.
Wolves basketball.
One game.
And guess what? Minnesota won last night. Covington did not require a easing in. He played 41 minutes, Al. And they won over New Orleans. And I got to bring in a guy. This is the one guy who had reservations about the Jimmy Butler deal. The chairman and leader of the Ricky Sanchez organization and our boss here at WIP, Basketball Authority, Spike Eskin. Hi, Spike.
You know, Angelo, I'm a pretty agreeable guy, right? We work together. I feel like we have a good relationship.
Very good.
I've worked a long time to try to be different than my namesake, but I'm listening to you guys all morning, and all I can think about is how much I want to yell at each and every one of you
when
I call.
Do it. No, do it. This is great. Start with Johnson.
Well, so I want John to feel free to yell back at me, right?
Okay.
I am not manager Spike right now. The notion that all Brett Brown has to do at the end of the game is simply tell the players the correct thing to do, and they will do it as if there is no other team on the court, as if it were just that easy, is crazy to me. Like, all Brett Brown has to do right at the end of the game is say, Joel, just do this, and Jimmy Butler, just do that, as if that's how basketball works. It's just, it's insane to me. And then you guys are mad at Joel Embiid, who is a generational talent, and we want him. We want him to think he's the man, right? We want him to go in there and think, I am the best player on the floor. And he goes out and he does it, and he fails, which is going to happen sometimes. And now he should realize when he's not the best guy on the floor and just stop shooting, as if that's what the best guys of all time have done, as if Michael Jordan just goes in and goes, you know what, I'm not the best guy tonight. I'll just give it to Steve Kerr. Like, that's not how it works, man. I cannot fathom how you guys can sit there and watch that game and just think that everything that everybody did was the opposite of what they should have.
But here's the problem, though. Through nearly three quarters, everything was going swimmingly. It was exactly what you would hoped. Everybody couldn't be happier, and the gradual integration of Jimmy Butler was going accordingly. Then, when they went into a slump defensively, when they couldn't stop Orlando, when they had a 21-0 run, Sixers somewhat responded. It came down to the wire. Embiid was two of his final 15. You knew Butler was going to be a part of this team 4 days ago. I granted it's one game of 82. It's a disclaimer. It will take time. However, to have him have little to no part late in the fourth quarter, especially when Embiid is struggling the way he is, although he's trying to do everything, and we understand why, he's the franchise player, the coach has to intervene there and strategically have these ISO play, or any type of play, really, that has Jimmy Butler shooting the ball late as that integration when your franchise player is struggling in the manner that he was late in the fourth, despite what his stat line told you.
John, was Brett Brown coaching the first three quarters? When
of course.
Everything worked.
Yes.
Okay. And so Brett Brown also coached the fourth quarter, right?
That's correct.
So how is it possible for Brett Brown to know when he has coached three quarters effectively that if he coaches the fourth quarter with the same mindset that somehow the shots that Joel Embiid was making in the first three quarters would not go down in the fourth quarter? Like is he supposed to look at a chart and understand, well, if Joel shoots this very same shot in the second quarter, it will go in, whereas if he shoots it in the fourth quarter, it will not go in? How is that possible?
I have a larger question. Why does the NBA have coaches in the first three quarters? Nothing matters.
I'm not talking to the hockey guy about that.
The only time it matters is in the fourth quarter when everything matters.
Why would I have a coach at all? I don't understand.
What quarter? You got to set that. I think we can agree, though, that Joel can sometimes get too caught up in the moment, and we've seen that. He's a young player. These things happen despite his talent. But his bread and butter, one of the reasons we say MVP attached to his name in the early goings of the season, he knows what to do in these parts of the game. He gets to the post. He draws the fouls. He gets to the line 10 to 20 times. He did none of that last night.
I think last night was, you know, I was expecting to see a Jimmy Butler who was supposed to that wanted to come out and prove that he was worth the trade. And instead, we saw Jimmy Butler that came in and didn't want to force himself upon his new teammates. And I'll be honest, with a guy who I was concerned about coming in and trying to run everything and you know, I'm the best guy in the world and I'm the boss, the fact that he came in and just tried to fit in a little bit, I don't think is the worst thing in the world, even considering the loss.
Let's back up a bit, though, Spike. I think you're the only one who really had some reservations about the Butler move. Tell us what they were.
Well, I mean, you never want when you're hiring a guy or getting a player where the last two places he's been, they've all been excited when the guy is leaving. that's a risk, right? And Jimmy Butler's missed a lot of time with injury, and we've certainly had plenty of that here. He misses 20 games a year with injury. He's about to turn 30 years old, and for them to keep him, they're going to have to give him a five-year, nearly $200 million contract, and they don't really have a ton of time to figure it out. On top of that, and I sort of respect the fact that the Sixers went for it, because they look at Joel Embiid, and they say, how many times are you going to have a transcendent player in the prime of his career, you know, playing MVP-level basketball? We have to go for it now. The thing is, though, when you go and you get this guy who's 7 years older than everybody else, you're giving yourself basically a three-year window to go and get it done. Because once Jimmy Butler turns 33, 34 years old, he's not the kind of guy that I think is going to age too well. So there's a lot of risk in it. That said, I don't know what their options were, and I think they made a fair deal. I just you know, free agency is not a good option to add another star. It's a very low percentage play. They're not going to be able to draft another one given where they're going to pick in the draft. So a trade was their best option. And if you don't want to trade Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons, you're going to have to trade for an imperfect guy. And I think Butler is imperfect.
Last thing, Spike. It's a tough question, but you got to answer it. Mm-hmm. Would Sam Hinkie have made the Jimmy Butler trade?
Sam Hinkie would have made the trade, but he would have never been in position for this to be the only trade that he could have made. I think the mismanagement of the former GM for the last 2.5 years has put them in a really tough spot. But I think if Sam Hinkie were inserted into this tough spot, he would have made that deal.
I don't think you're right on that, because I don't think he'd have given up that second-round pick, Spike. He really loves second-rounders.
He did. He'd have 70 or 80 of them by now, I think. Right.
Spike, are you officially suspending Johnson or just reprimanding him? How are we going to handle his behavior during this segment?
He'll never work at WIP again.
See, there is some of Howard in Spike Haskins. Thanks, Spike. Appreciate it, bud. All right, so he, Al, is absolving the coach.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.